If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Right after Easter, I started a series, and then Dr. Gregory came, and then I changed up too. And so this is the second part of the series on four powerful words of the resurrection. Four powerful words for the resurrection of Jesus. In chapter 20, you find the empty tomb. And for 40 days, Jesus is going to reveal himself, even at one time, to over 500 people. And when folks are writing these things, some of these people are still alive. They saw the risen Christ. And if you have any doubt on that, if you have any doubt that these folks didn't see this, you have to ask your question, then why did so many die for it? Why did so many die for a lie? Something that did not happen. And I love this because they, the disciples, and not all of them, but most of them are just, they're cramped up in that upper room where they had the Lord's Supper. The doors are locked, they're scared to death. You have a couple of things. There's great grief, the loss of their teacher, their rabbi, their brother, their master. They felt so safe with him, joyful, happy. He calmed their fears. They invited him into his life. And then they're locked up with great disappointment of the finality of his ministry. Imagine giving 3 years, leaving your jobs, leaving the boats, leaving the tax office, leaving all the things that you did, and you followed this man for 3 years because you knew he was different. You knew there was something special. You knew he had the words of life. You saw him heal people. You saw him touch the blind and see, touch the legs of those that were lame, and they walked and ran and they jumped. I mean, they were so hopeful about what this was going to mean for them. And then all of a sudden, he's dead. He's gone. There's an empty tomb, but there's got to be such a disappointment. I mean, he's 33 years old. He's dead. He could have had another 30, 40 years. And so there's incredible loss on all fronts. And then they're locked up with great fear. Fear of the ones that killed him. Fear that they're after them, that they're next. They're fearful. They're walking in worry. They're walking in anxiety. Some of them saw from a distance the crucifixion. Most of them ran because they knew what crucifixion was. And then what does Jesus do? He shows up in the midst of their disappointment, in the midst of their fear, in the midst of their worry, in the midst of all that they're dealing with, Jesus shows up. And I want you to hear this. Jesus always shows up. Amen. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've lost, no matter what the threat of the loss is, he always shows up. There's some of us in this place that know in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the loss, he shows up with incredible peace, incredible life. This is who we serve. This is who's in our life. He shows up. Even when we're thinking, where are you, God? And usually when we're asking, where are you, God, it's because God hadn't done what we want God to do. And yet he'll say, hey, I've got something better. Just like we sang just a moment, I got me to give you. Right now, right here. And all that I am, whether it's the peace, the joy, whether it is just the presence of God, Where the character of God just shines through in the midst of your chaos, in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your loss. This is who we want, him. Because when all fades away, when we have nothing, when our body fades away, when our houses fade away, when life fades away, it's only him. Amen. And the question is, do we know that today? Do we understand that today? They're struggling up in this room. They're struggling with the loss. There's great, great grief, disappointment, and fear. And then Jesus shows up. Notice what he says. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." What peace? I'm telling you, it's the first word of the resurrected Christ. Peace be to you. Peace with God, peace with life, peace with circumstances, peace with people, peace, my peace, Jesus says, be on you. This is peace for your fears, your disappointments, your worries, your anxieties. Peace. What does peace do? It chases those anxieties and fear away. And some of you need to hear this. You need to hear Jesus saying, peace be to you and your circumstances. Receive that. I mean, Jesus said it. He said it in John 16, 33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Now, this is in John 16, 33. In John chapter 20, he overcomes the world totally. When he says, it is finished, it's completed, the work of God is done, and now God comes for 2,026 years of history, comes into every believer's life to bring him this peace, to bring her this peace, to bring this marriage peace, to bring this family peace. And you find it through Jesus. You find peace with God through Jesus. And listen to me, folks. If you've got peace with Jesus and you're walking in it, you will bring that peace to every relationship that you have. You'll bring that peace to chaotic moments, to chaos. You'll bring that peace. I'm not saying you won't grieve. I'm just telling you, you will bring peace. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I got a chest cold of all things, and so just pray for me. Not false peace, not worldly peace, not motivational peace. This is blood-bought cross of Jesus, empty tomb Jesus peace that he gives to every one of us through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, you got to get your eyes off your circumstances. We're just going to see here in a moment. Get your eyes off the circumstances and put them on him. You seek his face, and you seek it first and foremost. Yeah, I one of my favorite passages of scripture, my favorite verse of scripture is in Psalm 27 when David is going through a tumult in his life and people are crashing in on him and they are pursuing him and they want to kill him. And you know what God says to him? Hey, seek my face. Seek my presence. And you know what he says? When you say that, my heart says, that's what I'll do. I'll seek the face. I'll seek the presence of my God. And if that means just moving away from something and getting alone and opening my word or just crying out to him and to cry out to him knowing that he's going to hear my cry, like we sang, that this God comes. And he comes and he does that for us and he shows up because he's peaceful. Yeah, the first powerful word, and we have a whole message on that from a few weeks ago, is this is peace for your fears. Peace be with you. What are they scared of? Death. That's what they're scared of. What are they thinking? It's over. But it's not over. Notice what he says. Second powerful word of the resurrection. Bible says in 20, when he has said this, when he said it, he showed them both his hands and his side. And now watch, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. They went from fear all evening to joy of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this, I preached this a year ago. When your joy goes, so does your strength. That's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. And all of a sudden, he shows up. He shows them his hands. He shows them his feet. He shows them the side. He shows them his body. They can touch this body. It is not some spirit ghost body. It is the physical body, the glorified body of Jesus Christ. And what do? They rejoice. What did he do? He came down, he plucked the fear out of their heart and blew it away. And then he said this, peace be with you again. peace be with you. Now watch. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Let me ask you a question. Do you see yourself as a sent man, a sent woman, to be a part of the kingdom of God? Because if the first word is for us 2,000 years ago, why wouldn't the second word be 2,000 years later for us? If all we're looking for is peace of heart in Jesus, you got the wrong Jesus. It's more than that. God wants to come into our lives and explode with the glory of God, where we are on fire for Him. If I'm going to seek the face of God first, I'm going to seek everything about Him first. Especially what happens when fear goes. What's left? Do I just go back to my life and live my life? Do I go back to the boats? Do I go back to the tax office? What do I do? No, he says to him, he says, listen, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This is not just for that guy right here pointing to. Sometimes I can feel like I'm the hired holy man. Come do our work. And yet our position in this life is to equip you for the work of ministry. Why? Because just as Jesus sent, as God sent him, so he sends you. Hey, it's a part of the deal. It's a part of the new life. It's the part of what God comes to do in your life. Listen, if you get peace with God and you don't go and share it with somebody and give it to somebody, what is that? That's like having the cure of cancer and put it in your pocket and say, oh, you got cancer. Good luck. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine doing that? But yet we have the greatest gift, the multiplying gift, the powerful gift, the gift that brings peace and life. And now purpose, because that's what this is. I'm going to give you peace for your life, and now I'm going to give you peace for your purpose. And you may be, I don't know, I'm just going to name some things. You might be a teacher. You might be an executive. You might be a salesman. You might be a construction guy, construction woman. You can own your own business. You can be a policeman, a fireman. And you can be in military. You can be a farmer, a dairyman, a rancher. Listen to me. That is not your purpose in life. If you think that's your purpose in life, look back and understand why you have not been happy. No matter how successful you are. No, it's just a means. It's just a platform. It's just something that God gives me to make a living and to provide for my family and then to use that as a platform to tell others about Him. As the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. And you've got to understand that the gospel comes. He comes and he saves us, like I said for Austin, from the penalty of sin. But it's not over. No, he comes to restore you, fix you, conform you into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. And you wanna shut up about that? Well, I'm just afraid. Well, he just said, listen, stop fearing. Peace be with you. Be afraid of the trial you're going through and don't be afraid of your purpose. And that's what he's saying. Second powerful word of the resurrection. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Well, what does that look like? Well, I'm just going to give you just bullet point this. He sends you just like the Father sent him to make the Father known to everyone. to point to the character, the mercy, the compassion of God, to understand the presence of God in somebody's life. He sent Jesus to show what love is, what grace is, what affection really is, how one is to live his life, how he responds to trouble and trial. No, that's what he sent Jesus for. And just as God sent him, Jesus, he sends us to serve, not to be served, to give his life as a ransom. He sent Jesus to lay down his life for his friends, and he came and he laid down his life for you. And as the Father sent him, so do we. We lay down our lives for one another. That's what love is. We lay down our lives for our wives and our husbands and our children, our sons and our daughters. I've sent you to this. I've sent you with the Spirit of the living God living in you, which we'll look at next week. He sent Jesus to live a life. For him, it's perfect, a perfect sacrifice to show the way of life, to point to the miracle working God. He sent Jesus to fulfill God's purposes, to restore us back, to share his glory. He sent Jesus to expose our sin by his righteousness and then to reconcile us to God and give us the same purpose. As the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus sends you, and you back there, and you up front, and you over here to my right, right here in the middle sections. He is sending you, and until you get that into your life as a conviction, you'll never ever ultimately know the ultimate satisfaction. And I see it all the time in believers' lives. Listen, please listen to this. If you just come to church and sit down, praise God, sing the songs, hear the word, and then you might be a little more faithful and you come on Wednesday night and you get more faith, you come to the first hour, and then you live the rest of your week the way you want to live it, you're living for you, not him. And what's so not disappointing, but what's so ironic is that when I am giving my life to him and I'm living for him, that is where I'm the most satisfied. And the reason why we don't find satisfaction in this life is because we think the Christian life is about being moral and being free from sin and being set free, and those are great things, and those are that is essential. But no, you give your life away. You don't hoard it. And you do it in your family, just like the Burlesons today are committing to raise Emerson in the way of the Lord. Just as many of you have stood before an altar like this and said, these kids belong to you, and we're going to raise them. We're not just going to teach them, but they're going to catch it, not be taught it. And that's a good question. Do people catch what you have? Do they see it? As the Father has sent me, so I've sent you. Just like God sent me, just like the Father sent me. You don't have to be afraid of this. You don't have to walk and worry over it. You don't think of to say, well, there's no way I can go to China and there's no way I can preach. Well, I'm just going to tell you, most of us can't. But what is the purpose that God has for you in this life? What has he gifted you with? What are the gifts of the Spirit that God's given to you that you're hoarding and you're not giving away? Because of fear. And you say, well, I may not know how to talk to somebody about Jesus. Well, you got a testimony. And if you really believe he saved you, you can tell somebody about that testimony. And you can say, hey, this is what happened to me. Let me tell you my story. And do it the first couple of times you meet the new friend. Don't wait for 5 years. Because you're waiting for 5 years, you're probably not living it. But no, to be able to say, this is how God touched me. This is how God moved in my life. This is how God changed me. You know, I had some junk in my life. The junk is gone. I'm not telling you I'm perfect, but I believe what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I believe what he did for me. And at 8 or 10 or 15 or 25 or 30 or 40 or last week, God touched me. And I want to tell you about it. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe there's a hell? Can I hear that a little louder?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder why we don't live like we believe there's a hell. First of all, of just examining our hearts and our lives and where we are in this life, but then also asking God to snatch us, use us to snatch them from the fires of hell right now, right here. That's what we're doing overseas. This is what we do here at home. This is what we do in between, sharing the love and the life of Christ so that those folks might have what we have. Can you imagine somebody that you've known and they were really having a hard time and they didn't know the Lord, but somehow you saw them in heaven? Why? Because someone else down the road said something to them. And he saw you. Oh, I don't think this is plausible, so please bear with me on this. Because once you're in heaven, yes, many of you say, when I get to heaven, the first question I'm going to ask is why. No, you're not, because you're going to be totally satisfied. Amen? Amen. But what if that person could say, why didn't you tell me when I was 10? Why didn't you tell me when I was 18? Why didn't you tell me this when I was, why'd I have to wait to 60 years old to hear it, let alone live it? Again, I don't think that's plausible. I don't think that's going to happen, because I'm going to tell you, it's not going to matter when you get to heaven, because you're going to know you have Jesus and that's all you need. Amen. There's no guilt in heaven. No shame in heaven. He paid for it all. So it's a implausible illustration to kind of quicken us to say, I need to tell my friends, my family, my testimony of what God has done in my life. You say, well, Mike, my testimony from that time has not been good. Well, how is it now? And maybe you are where you are because you're not doing the next thing in the peace initiative of God. He gives you peace with God. He gives you peace from your fears and your worries. And now he gives you peace for your purpose. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to worry. No, he sends you like he sends Jesus, and he sends you with the same reconciliation authority. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. One of the most powerful passages of Scripture on what God has given in the sense that we get to share life with other people. Yeah. Verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Yeah. Well, that means you're a new creature. All things are passed away, period. Now, new things are coming. And that's in the perfect tense. And it means new things are coming. They're gonna keep on coming. And they've come before. They're coming now. And they'll keep on coming. New things in Christ. And all these things, all these new things are from God. And what did he do? He reconciled us to himself through Christ. And then what? He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. He creates you as a brand new creature. He makes you right with God. That's where you find your peace for everything. And then he gives you the ministry of reconciliation. The moment you came to Jesus, it's in you. Matter of fact, the next word is he placed within you a word of reconciliation. Just didn't give it to you. He placed it in you. Powerful. This powerful thought that this great God would place within us a ministry of reconciliation. Not counting our trespasses against us, but he placed within us the word of reconciliation. So watch, you're a new creation, you've been reconciled to God, and then he's given you a ministry of reconciliation, and then he's placed the word in you. And you say, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you this. If you've never heard something like this, and you know, I've never heard this articulated this way, but I know it's speaking to my heart, and I know it's true, and I think I've even known it, that means it's because it's in you.
And now that it's being explained and articulated in this way, how can I go from here not making the commitment to use the word of reconciliation that he's committed to me and placed within me? How can I go and not live it out? You got it. If you got Jesus, you got all of this. And he gives you everything you need to live this godly life, to walk this out. And then he calls you an ambassador for Christ. And then he says, and that ambassadorship is just, I'm just a representative of Jesus, and I'm coming to make an appeal to the rest of the world about his kingdom to be reconciled to God on behalf of Christ. This is our message. This is our word. Look what the word is. Verse 21, and he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. Folks, this is the Great Commission. We go home, or we stay home, or we go to the ends of the earth, or we go to our Judea or our Samaria, or wherever we go, is what the scripture says. As you go, make disciples. This is not just for some hired up folks, mature people that have walked with Jesus for 30 years. No, if you've been walking with Jesus for 3 days, you got it. You may be a little bit immature about it, but that's okay. You got it. And the question is, will I believe this today? Will I believe, oh God, in my thanksgiving for this peace that I have with you, and then to be able to say, I've given my life to you, and maybe what this guy's saying up here, what Mike is saying up here, is the reason for all the stuff and the junk of my life behind me is because I'm not living the purpose of God out. I learned this as a teenager. Give it away and you will grow. Hoard it. You won't. Give it away, and he comes and he replaces it and he multiplies this. I just can't tell you at 12 and 13 and 14 sharing faith with people, and then into high school with my high school student, with my high school peers to share Christ did two things for me, or even more. It made me accountable to live for him and be more hungry than I've ever been for him. Listen, if you got a gift you're not using that God's given you, stop wasting it. Stop wasting it. To be Jesus to someone is so awesome. And you know what? And he says, listen, don't be afraid of it. Listen, John 15, 18, yeah, the world's going to hate you. But just know that it hated me before it hated you. And that's why they were fearful. And he's saying, here's your peace. Here's your purpose. Now, there's something great about the Great Commission. Chapter 28, verse 20. Watch this. Watch what he said. Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. Wow. There's the presence of God again. There's the peace of God. Listen, you go, you work in your field, however God designs you. It may not look like the way I do it. It may not look like this huge extroverted Christian can do it. And I'm not talking about that. That's not your standard. The standard is what has God called you to and how has he wired you? And the question is, are you using the gifts for the glory of God? I want to believe this with everything that I am. I want to believe it for the glory of God. I'm going to finish up with this. It's Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 through 14. And I just look at it on the screen, and I'll finish with this. But I want you to notice what he says. It's powerful. Do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about. Quit the fidgeting. Quit the fear. Quit looking like it. Quit acting like it. I'm your God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you, they'll be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but you're not going to find them. And those who war with you, as they're nothing and non-existent, because I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says, do not fear, I will help you. Amen. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Today, we laid hands on about 13 people today to send them out. Some of them are going today, three of them are going Tuesday. Some will get on a plane, and I want you to be really praying because there's supposed to be hail up there and all that stuff about that same time. But we're not going to fear. Why? Because he's with us. He upholds our right hand. He not only just shows up, he stays. And church, beloved, friends, you have everything you need. Everything you need to go in the power of Jesus to be sent to that coworker, to that neighbor, to that best friend, to that couple who's struggling, and you're 30 weeks ahead of them. To that person who's walking in anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Who you'll say and ask, is that working for you? And you know what they're going to say, because you yourself have been set free from it. He says, I'm the Lord your God. I uphold your right hand. I say to you, do not fear. I will help you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just really touch us today with this word. I really want to thank you for the attentiveness of the body today. I want to pray that, Lord, that whatever anyone in this room heard and you pierced their heart, I'm asking that they would run with what you've asked them to do. And a response to this message might be, Pastor Mike, Craig, the person you sit with church all the time, will you help me to get to this place that Pastor Mike is talking about? Because I don't want to walk in fear for my life, and I don't want to walk in fear for the ministry that God's given to me, and wake up one day and realize I could have had a greater impact for the glory of God, but I was just too scared. Lord, I pray for that kind of response today. This is a powerful word of the resurrection of Christ. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to say, I wanted to say one other word to you before we do the blessing. When he says, don't fear, I'm with you, this doesn't mean you go out of here and you're all anxious about what I just said. No, you just lay it down at the cross today and let him reveal it to you. Let him show it. Because if you cry out to him and you ask him, he'll show you. You don't have to fret for 3 weeks and come and say, hey, God hadn't showed me anything. No, you just lay it down. It's in his court now. He's thrown it in your court, and now you just place it at his feet today to say, God, I'm available. I don't want to keep living like I'm living. I want to be a servant. I want to be sent. And now I want you to open the door and show me in scripture, show me in church, show me wherever. And Lord, I'll walk with you. That's how he wants to lead you. This is not about laying down a fear and getting
fearful about something else and picking up something else. I just want you to know, church, God wants to use you for the glory of God. I'll say it over here. God wants to use you for the glory of God. To speak the word, to live the word, to respond with the way word says to respond, so people can see your good works and give glory to God Almighty, who saved you and delivered you and gave you life.